we moved here to Birmingham in 1999. We were in Gadsden, and while we were in Gadsden, I wrote a bulletin article. And that bulletin article was about a Christmas tree. And when I moved to Gadsden, in one of the first couple of years, I took that bulletin article and put it in our bulletin. Helen Reardon reminded me of it a week or so ago, because she found that article and she was reading it, but in her copy of the article, the last sentence was missing. And she was wanting to know what the last sentence was. And I'm not sure. So I told her I'd try to find out. And I have looked through the copies of our bulletins, and so far I haven't found it, but I'm still looking on occasion. But I remember the gist of the article. I wanted to share it with you. Now, when I wrote this article, I had some people to come to me saying, I will never have another Christmas tree in my house. That is not what I want you to consider. Having Christmas trees is a wonderful thing. We enjoy them. We don't enjoy them now because of allergies. And so we have to have one of those fake trees. But I've always loved Christmas trees. I remember one of our boys telling Kathy and I when he was very young, the day you have a fake tree is the last day I come here for Christmas. And that has long since passed and has long since proved to be untrue. So that's not the case. But let me tell you the story. We go and we pick us out a tree, and that tree has already been shaped for us. I worked one summer when I was in Wisconsin in order to support our family at a nursery where plants were grown, and among the things that were grown were Christmas trees. And one of the things we did in the summertime was we would go and trim the tree and trim off and shape the tree in the form that we would want it to be in, where it would look like a Christmas tree. And you had to do that on a regular basis in order for that tree to have and maintain the shape that it's in, which gets back to David's point about trimming rather than cutting off. And we trimmed those trees. We didn't damage them. And we made them into the shape they were going to be. And we continued to let them grow for about 5 or 6 years. And then people would come and cut them. And they would take them and they would put them in their homes to make them beautiful in their homes. They would make them beautiful in their homes by covering them with all different kinds of lights, putting all kinds of ornaments on them, and putting them in a tree stand where they could keep that tree alive. And they would put them in that tree stand, and in that tree stand they would pour water, and that tree would drink that water up almost amazingly fast. And it would drink that water, and you'd go back and feel it again, and then you would notice as you went further and further along through the season, it drank the water slower and slower until finally there wasn't any reason to put any water in it again. Because what happened is when you cut the tree off of its root system, you killed it. When you cut it off the root system, it's dying. And there's not a thing you can do to stop it. It's dying, and you know very well that it's dying and it's going to die very soon, because it's cut off from its root system. Which raises a question with regard to us. And we're just going to put up a few, but they are true of all of us with regard to our roots. Do we think what God teaches us to think? Am I in tune with His Word? Am I connected to Jesus and His instructions and His commandments? Am I connected to Jesus to know what He says? That God's Word and what I learned from Jesus, is it? Am I doing what it teaches me to do? Do we love what God's Word teaches us to love? Do I love the things God loves? And do I love the things God tells me I am to love? And do I love the things that God teaches me to love? Do we accept what God declares us to be? When I am in Christ and God declares me to be holy, Do I sense that? Do I realize that? Do I believe his promise about me? Do I believe what he says he has done for me and who he has made me to be? Do we accept what God declares us to be in his word? Is there a divide between what we say we believe and what we actually do in our life? Is there a difference in what we say we believe, but then in how we actually live, it may be completely different? I want you to look at these two verses. This is from the book of Jonah. It's a chapter 1 and verse 9. You know the story. Jonah has been instructed by God to go to the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire that was soon, very shortly after this event, a matter of fact, within maybe 50 or 60 years, to take Israel captive and to remove them from the land of Israel. Jonah may have already been aware of that. And God comes to him and tells him to go to Nineveh, and he instead goes in a different direction, going as far away from Nineveh and as far away from God's instructions as he possibly could. And you know the story of the storm and how the storm came and the sailors begin to ask questions and they answered. And when they come to Jonah, they said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Did he? In this moment, with this action, was he fearing God? Or was he running away from God? Well, we know he was running away from God. But maybe by what was going on around him and what was about to happen to him, he was coming back to his senses. But in this moment, his actions were not what he said he believed, and his actions were not what he said he feared. Then there's this passage. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Paul says this about Peter. Why? Because Peter was eating with the Gentiles in Antioch, until some Jews came from Jerusalem. And when the Jews showed up from Jerusalem, then Peter withdrew from the Gentiles, afraid of what the Jews might think about him. And Barnabas even went with him. And Paul said that he withstood Peter to his face because he stood condemned. Why did he stand condemned? Because what he said he believed is not what he was doing. What he said he believed about what Jesus wrote and what Jesus wanted is not what he was putting into practice at this moment. That is the problem. Jesus will tell us this: abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Just like that Christmas tree. When we cut ourselves off from the vine, when we cut ourselves off from Jesus, what he says, what he wants us to do, we begin to die. And if we stay in that condition, we will die. That's spiritual death. I want us to see that and look at it in light of the parable of the soils. You remember that parable? It's told a couple of times, and I want you to turn and read with me Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the account of the parable, and his apostles question him about what it is that he's saying, and they question him about why he's even using parables to begin with. And he explains all of that in Matthew chapter 13. We're not going to read all of it. What I want us to read are the first 9 verses where Jesus tells the parable. But he doesn't explain any of it. He just tells the parable that no doubt very few that were there understood at all what he was talking about. His apostles didn't understand what he was talking about. They had no idea what was in his mind when he spoke this parable. But good for us, verses 18 through 23, we'll read in a moment, he explains it to them. So let's start with verse 1. Let's start with verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. That's S-O-W-E-R, not S-E-W. A sower is a guy that's planting seeds. So he's broadcasting seeds. And he sowed some, as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. The ground's hard. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as we go into the explanation, I want you to notice something about the explanation. The key for every single one of the four types of soil is the root system. When you look at every soil that Jesus is about to describe, look at and think about what it's implying about the root system. Because that's the whole key for what he's saying. Let's take a look at what he says about each one. Start reading with me in verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, he doesn't get it, has no interest in it, pays no attention to it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is that which was sown along the path. Ground is so hard, the seed can't penetrate. Well, if the seed can't penetrate, what happens to the root system? There are no roots. There is no root system. There are no roots that grow. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The hard path, the rocky ground. The rocky ground is the individual who accepts it with joy, but there's no real commitment there. There's no growth. There's no maturity. Which is why the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, will tell us, let's move on to maturity. Let's move away from the fundamental things, from the basic principles that all of us are to know from the moment we become a Christian. Let's move on toward maturity, to the higher things, to the things that bring us closer and closer to God. The third one is this one. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. A thorny ground. The root system is growing, but it has a lot of competition. The root system is growing, but there's a lot of other things growing right along with it. The thorns. And that root system that belongs to the thorns. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, if you love the world, you can't love the Father. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of God cannot be. Too much competition. Too much pulling me. Too many desires. Too many things that aren't priority. And the major priority is not Jesus. it is not God. And then the last one is the good soil. The good soil is in good earth and soil, and there is nothing growing with it. There are nothing else that's a priority. And it is there, it is growing, and the root system goes down good and deep and nourishes and gives water to the plant, and it grows and it makes a fruitful, growing plant. And the fruit is abundant. That's the parable of the soils. And the whole parable is about the root system. And just like a Christmas tree, if we cut it off from the root system, it dies. And just like us, if our root system doesn't grow and doesn't develop as God would have it to grow and develop, we never become what we could become. We never quite become what He intended us to become. But I want you to think about this in a little different way as we conclude. Where is the salvation? Is the salvation in the hard path? No, it can't be. Why not? Because there's no belief. There's no accepting of the word. There's no trust in it. There's no belief in it. There is no salvation in the heart path because it never penetrated the heart. It was never accepted. Is there salvation on the rocky ground? Yes. The seed is planted. And the root system begins to grow. So in the rocky ground, yes, there is salvation, but there is also a tremendous possibility of falling away. A tremendous possibility of falling away because the root system is not growing like it should and is not developing like it should. And therefore, when problems arise, feelings are hurt, things don't go the way that I want them to go, or this just becomes too hard and too difficult, I will separate from the root system. What about the thorny ground? Is salvation there? Yes, it is. But again, it also has the possibility of falling away. Because all the other things that are drawing my attention could make the root system of Jesus and following Him and listening to His word less and less important, less and less significant, less and less something I really need to be doing. And so we would fall away if that were the case, because the root system isn't developing. It's not growing. I'm not continuing to listen to Christ and grow in the maturity of striving to become more and more like Him. What about the good soil? Yes, salvation is in the good soil. But there's still also the possibility of falling away. But it gets to be harder because of the strength of the root system. Paul said about Peter, he stood condemned. Was he removed from being an apostle? No. Was he removed from being an elder? No. Was he removed from Jesus Christ? No. Why? Because Peter's root system, he knew what Jesus said about how he acted toward those Gentiles. And he knew that he was wrong. And he, even though it's not recorded for us, no doubt asked God for forgiveness, which would have been given to him. And with regard to his attitude toward the Apostle Paul, he writes about Paul in one of his letters and says, our beloved brother Paul. And I wonder if that idea of beloved brother Paul may have something to do with the memory of the day he confronted me, the day he talked to me, the day he brought me back to the root system of Jesus Christ. This is the way I think we need to look at it. And that's why I wanted us to do this today. And with Christmas time, we just took down our Christmas tree last night. But of course, it's artificial, so we just threw it in the box and put it up. But a lot of you are taking them down and they're putting them out so somebody can get them, or putting them in a pond somewhere so you can catch more fish this coming summer. You may be doing a lot of different things with them, but you know it's dead. And the reason it's dead is because it was cut off from its root system. And the only way we die is to be cut off from our root system, to be cut off from Jesus and stop growing in Him. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to learn. He wants us to know that we strive to be like Him and follow Him. And that means listening to His word and following what He says. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ? Do you need to come home to Him? If you desire to respond to His invitation this morning, we want to offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.